It is Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are two fit crazies.
And a microphone.
We are where it's at.
God,
this is the fun part of podcasting. Because we talk all the smack and we do like pre-race stuff and this is what's going to go down and all this stuff. And welcome to Post Boston Marathon Recap 2024.
The 128th edition of the Boston Marathon.
Woo! There's nothing better. Seriously, there's still nothing better than being in Boston.
There's still nothing better than being in Boston.
A Boston Marathon weekend.
I freaking agree with you. I agree with you. I was speaking with my sister earlier who goes every year, brings my niece, my brother, everybody.
Your whole clan.
The whole clan was there. And she says, it's the best weekend
of
the year.
So good.
She doesn't even run it. I mean, she would love to run it, but like she hasn't run it yet. I'm going to get her a bib. She's got to run in Boston. Right? We'll go charity.
Bring her over to my Alzheimer's Association.
I mean, she's only done.
It's amazing.
She's like a 10-time marathoner. She's like, she's, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
no.
She's like pretty good.
Yeah. But she's also a marathoner who understands that you don't run Boston unless you qualify for it. Right? Like, there's something to that. Like, at least for her, you know? Like, the qualification is part of what makes it so
right,
fun
the
and
qualified
beautiful.
Runners.
And, you know what I mean? It's like you kind of have to earn it. But you know what? I think with 10 marathons, she's earned it.
Yeah.
Right?
For
so,
sure.
So, I would love that. And you know what? Maybe that year, I'll stand my ass on the side of the road and watch her run it like she does for me every year.
That's kind of cool. That'd be a cool little flip.
But then I don't get to run it.
Right. Which, so fun for some of us.
2024 was one for the ages, Conti. I mean,
this was my favorite Boston.
It was?
Ever.
Good for you.
Absolute, hands down. Got to run the marathon. Got to get on the start line for the 11th time in Hoppington. And
awesome.
I've made all the mistakes over the years, right? I have 10 years of doing good and really messing up and learning everything.
Right.
And I felt like out there, like I knew every part of that course, like the back of my hand. And I got to have a partner the entire way who was so jacked up about running this race. And, you know, it was just so amazing to do it with somebody.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
All right, so we did it in the pre-race episode. Go back and listen to it if you want to hear more. But tell us again, who and what and why
all right, real
were you
fast,
running with somebody?
Background. I still run, even though I qualify, I think it's important for every single person listening to give back, to do something that if you have the ability to advocate or to, you know, bring awareness to a cause, that's important. And I like to, you know, try and bring awareness. And I started running with the Alzheimer's Association years and years and years ago. And now I still run with them, even though I qualify. I don't take one of their charity bibs. I still raise money for them. I advocate for them and whatnot. And now this year, I was asked to be a guide for Thomas, one of my most amazing, amazing friends. Thomas has autism. And, you know, some other, you know, things. I always say, like, things. Whatever. We all have our things. But some other, disabilities, I guess, is what he says. And I had the opportunity. I went down to Florida back in February and ran with him to kind of qualify in the brand new category that they just added this year to the Boston Marathon, which is, you know, there's always a para. Like, you'll see people with you know, missing legs or arms or whatnot. But now it is almost like a neurodivergent category
right. For
people that have Down syndrome and have autism and have, you know, other, you know, I guess neurodivergent, you know, issues, whatever that lies under. And went up and guided him. I was his guide. So it was really powerful that on behalf of Chris Nikic, 1% Better Foundation. So Chris was there.
Yeah,
and,
he was.
Shout out to Chris and Rhonda Viteri. Shout out to Rhonda, was guiding him. She's an amazing woman in this world. And another athlete, Albert Marshall, was running his first Boston with his guide, Raymond Braun. Shout out, Raymond. And then there was Thomas, who is running his first Boston, and myself.
It's freaking so cool.
We got to start, at the beginning of the race with the women pros. Like,
unbelievable. You did start with that early. You did start early.
They shot the gun for the women pros, and we were like a minute later.
Unbelievable.
It was like right away. Like they were right there. I have a picture of it. I have all the women's butts because they're already out there right in front of us.
All right, forward that to me.
Anyway.
That was
what was so powerful.
Hats off to the Boston Marathon, right? And to, I believe, Chris Nikic for bringing awareness to the fact that there even is or could be a category for neurodivergent athletes, right? Athletes.
Yeah.
Athletes.
Oh, and many of them will kick your ass. You don't realize that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I was on a bus. Instead of the yellow school buses this year, my friend Winnie, Bronwyn O'Leary, the great Bronwyn O'Leary, holy shit. We booked a charter bus, like one of the $60 charter buses
We
got on. Yeah. Huh. So we're sitting in the bus and I see a bunch of purple singlets go by, which is the Alzheimer's Association.
Oh, when you got to Hopkinton.
No. So when we're in Hopkinton, yeah. So we're sitting there like instead of the yellow school buses will just kind of dump people off into the Athletes Village and that's like great. But if you can have a charter bus with a bathroom on it and like you're hanging in there. And I see a bunch of yellow jerseys or singlets going past the bus window. And then I see Conti. I'm like, there's Christine.
What are the chances?
And then I see that she's with all the 1% folks. And I see Chris Nikic. And I get off the bus and I yell, Conti! So this is before, like, you know, there's 26,000 people, I think, run the Boston Marathon. And, like, I, like, randomly run into Christine.
That was fun.
And Chris is so funny because Winnie was there and I introduced them. You know, she got off to say hi and we took some photos and things like that. And we introduced Chris to Winnie and he gave her a big hug.
That's what he does.
And didn't let go.
Oh, exactly. That's what Chris does. He's a hugger.
My man is a man. Mm-hmm. He was like, what do we have here? I'm going to hug you until you tell me to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pressing cheek on cheek. He's so funny. I love it. It's like
he's a ball of love.
Oh, I know. It's so great. And I said, all right, Chris, it's time to let her go. Going around. And it was really cool, too, because after that, I left and went into the Athletes Village because we were about ready to start. And I see you again walking up with Chris and all that stuff. And like the guy from the Boston Marathon, who's like the guy with the microphone, he got down and was like, came down to introduce himself
I was mouthing off to the guy. I'm like, look who's here.
Yeah.
But like, he like threw his mic off the thing to jump down.
Yeah. Like Christine's crew is like celebrity.
He said, this is really cool, actually. He jumped down because he's like a special ed teacher or whatnot.
Okay.
And he uses some of Chris's, you know, influence and uses him like in his classroom to show different things and how you could do anything and whatnot. So when he, you know, I did a video for this guy who was announcing, so he could bring it back to his classroom, to his students.
Oh, cool.
So that's why he was so jacked up about like, yes, blah, blah, blah.
Awesome.
But that's really what you get. Like even when we came in the morning, we actually, the 1%, the long story short, there was like some mix up with the Adidas who sponsors Chris and they wanted us to take the buses. And we were like, hells no, we're not taking our kids who can't be overstimulated and there really is a lot that goes into the back end of guiding people that you don't think about, that it's very intense.
Right. The yellow school buses are loud and
rowdy.
They're loud.
Our kids don't need to be walking for 0.7 miles and then be overstimulated with no bathroom and blah, blah, blah.
There's long lines to get into those school buses corralling
people.
It's a lot.
So we need them to be as like isolated and calm as possible for some things. And we wound up, I made a call, shout out to Marissa Bresnahan, president of, you know, the Alzheimer's Association. I always say, when you do good things come back to you. I made a call the night before. I said, Marissa, we got a little situation. Can the 1% better crew come on the Alzheimer's Association bus with us? And she said, let me just make a phone call. You're all good.
Yeah.
And that was, so we met
awesome.
In the morning and, you know, and that's big.
Oh,
like
that's
some of that
really
stuff,
big.
Like
no,
it's the people at Boston are just like, we're in this together.
It's all about the runners. It's all about the event. It's all about the whole city. It's wild. Like, you know, everything about it. So
we got to walk up. So all the people in Athletesville, everyone lines up and then they let people go in a corral, like each group. And it's like, so now there's like 6,000 people in the right. first wave, whatever, that they're going to let in. And before they did that, I said, hey, guys, like, we don't need to wait here. We're going straight up because it doesn't matter. We're kind of like with the pros, right?
Yeah.
So we come up and we walk through. And they let us walk before anyone else comes in because we have these guide bibs. So we got to turn around and see the masses of Athletes Village, and we're all by ourselves.
Oh.
So I have a cool picture of, like, because you're never going to see that unless you're. So we come down and, you know, we've walked all the way to the front, you know, and who's walking by? You know, it's me and whoever else, and me, Christine, being Christine. I was like, oh, hey, Meb.
Yeah.
What's going on? And he's like, oh, hi. I'm like, hey, I'm here with Chris and everyone. I'm like, come take a picture. And, of course, Rhonda Viteri, please Google her. She knows everyone in the whole world. She's like, oh, I know him too. Oh, Meb, come on, blah, blah, blah. So we're talking to Meb. He's taking pictures with all of us and Chris. And
so Meb Klevesky, who won the 2014 Boston Marathon. Yeah,
he's who the we last, saw yeah. When we saw each other.
So I saw Meb out on the course.
Mm-hmm.
I actually beat Meb this year.
You should just quit running, is what I said.
I know. Christine said, drop the mic. Quit running.
Quit running.
And look.
Done.
Yeah.
Were you like, what was he running for? Like, what was he doing?
I don't know. He had Meb over in front of his shirt. So as I'm running, I hear people going, go, let's go, Meb. Like, you got this, Meb. And like, I'm like, is there like somebody else named Meb? And, you know.
Meb Smith.
And I look and I turn around and there he is, you know. He's
a little guy.
MEB on his shirt across his chest. And I was like, oh, jeez, you know. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so go on. It was part of my story. So I actually told Bob Andrews, who I do Gone Running with, he goes, make sure you note that in your runner's log. He's like old timer, still keeps the runner's log, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but make sure you note that in your runner's log. It was great.
I've said this before. The year that I passed Shalane Flanagan, who was guiding some other athlete.
Sure.
And I passed her going up Heartbreak Hill, and I was like, you know what? I quit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I'm, you know.
I fist bumped Joan Benoit Samuelson 1 year in Wellesley.
Mm-hmm.
Like mile,
I remember.
Mile 12
yes.
or so. I was like, hey, Joanie.
Oh, hey,
right?
Hey, yeah. What's going on?
What's up, 84 Olympic gold medalist? Like,
yeah.
First, like, woman crush ever in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Not really. It was probably Belinda Carlisle, but.
There's some good people we've seen. Like, I mean, this year, Catherine Switzer was, like, gave us a pep talk.
Switzer. Thank you.
Gave us the, you know why? Because I had Mrs. Switzer as my, like, kindergarten teacher. That's why.
We're just going to need you to get that one right, Conti. She's
That's fair- why.
She's
That's
fairly
why.
Important.
So was my kindergarten teacher, okay?
All right.
So she gave the pep talk for the Adidas, you know, shakeout run, which was more like a photo shoot. However, it was cool because there was a lot of pros from, like, South Africa and, like, all whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. But, you know, it's we get to see some cool people. I text Brian because I walked into Dick's to buy socks because apparently I forgot socks. And I'm like, why is there all these people here? And they're like, we're waiting for Gronk. He's making a surprise appearance. I'm like, Brian,
Gronk.
Come on. Come on down here.
Come to Dick's Sporting Goods to meet Gronk. So Gronk was the grand marshal.
I just wanted a picture.
Gronk was the grand marshal. And I was like kind of pressed for time. And I'm like, Conti, I took Mike Conti's line. I took Michael's line, which is, I've already met him.
Yeah, that's true.
I've already spent some time with that fella on the game show.
Right. Well, I just wanted to, I didn't want to talk to him or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to, like, get a picture with us because I thought that would be fun.
Hey, Gronk.
It'd be funny.
So, yeah, that was all good. You know, that was the day before Expo.
Sorry,
right?
I
in
bounced
out.
Back.
No.
Bounced back and forth.
Yeah. You're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Conti went to the Celtics game the day before, right? Did you go? Michael went.
We did,
Alex went.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So we did. So I roll into town and, like, hightailed it over to the Alzheimer's banquet. That was like, they do a really big, huge thing. It's very like no dry eyes in the place. And they have speakers and honor everyone. And then hightailed it over to, like, try to hit everyone at Adidas. Adidas sponsors Chris. So we have to, you know, we had to behave and all have Adidas on the whole time. You know, like we couldn't have anything else.
You got some gear, though, didn't you? You got gear.
I got
up.
A surprise backpack. It was like Mary Poppins, you know, like
no, you
case
got some
of everything.
Sweet ass Boston Marathon Adidas
all of it.
Sneakers.
I got two pairs of kicks and like what? Unreal. Yeah, super nice. And
how can I be down?
Very nice of them. But yeah, did a bunch of stuff. The next day we wound up, we did that this whole shakeout run thing and then went to, Adidas gave 6 tickets to us, which is the athletes and the guides, to the Celtics game. And
dude, you got the VIP.
One of our athletes is like super loves the Celtics, has his jersey, like, yeah, so pretty much his head blew off. That's Thomas, who's with me. He was like, this is one of the best days of my life.
It's true.
But like his, you know, his weekend, what his parents were with us and for the weekend, and his parents were just like, this is like a experience of a lifetime
yeah,
for
it's
him.
Like Disney.
You have no
yeah,
idea
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
what this means.
Yeah, it's like Disney experience.
And like that in and of itself, like is, it just, it makes your heart grow.
Right.
Like how can, I don't know. Like it's, you know, I said at the end of the weekend, always, I'm like, thank you for, you know, like, thank you. I'm like, no, thank you for sharing your son with me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
totally.
He only hated me for 2 miles of the Boston Marathon. That's when like shit got real. But like,
shit got really real at the Boston Marathon.
It did. We'll get into the race.
I was just going to say like
there's actually a look, running race
like,
that happens.
And on top of all this, we get
and
to run. We get
like,
to run the marathon too, right? Like we get to do like, you know.
I want you to start, you know, like I know that you're very serious when you run these things, but like I want
no,
you to
I want
come on the other side
no,
of this.
No doubt about
because
it.
Because I go down and I'm like, it's not that, I mean, I'm not look, partying, but look, like there's so many things and so many people and it's so exciting. And I met that like
a few
so
more fucking races
people.
Like this one. I'm going to go full time guy.
I just love it. I do one. I decided it's one race for myself every year. One race for myself so I can keep my Boston qualifying. All the other ones, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm already qualified for the next couple of years because I keep getting older. My times keep getting slower. Fantastic. So tell me about your race. And then we'll get into what was happening in Christine land. Christine and Thomas land.
So this year, I mean, this might be a two-part freaking episode because this part, my race was...
All right. Well, speed it
no,
up
no,
there,
no, it's
buddy.
Good. Okay, you ready? It was hot at this year's Boston Marathon. This is the first time we're
it was
about
gorgeous.
17 minutes into the episode
no
here. It was fucking hot.
It was beautiful.
It was 70 degrees out of nowhere.
Gorgeous.
You're crazy. Honestly. So like in the corral, like going towards the starting line, you know, you walk through some like small ass New England neighborhood in Hopkinton. And, you know, there's not much, there's people in like the residential houses and there's like vats of sunscreen, like people are giving out on their driveway.
Just want everyone to know, my dermatologist and all the other people, I did use sunscreen.
All right. Well, I didn't. And you know, so you just kind of get an idea as to what's going on. You look up, there's not too many clouds in the sky. They're talking about potential for a tailwind. You're like, sweet, I'll get a tailwind. This will be great. And what happens is with a tailwind is sometimes you just, all you feel is the heat instead, like, you know, it's behind you. You don't really feel it as much. And I don't know, maybe it was negligible, but, by mile 2 in, it was already hot, already sweating. I said,
it's 'cause you were 2 miles behind me.
I said, I had to pass you at some point. I'm sure. Right.
I know. And I'm like, I looked for you forever.
Yeah. So we're in the race and I'm like, this is going to be a long day. My plan was all along, I think I discussed on the last episode, run as many 635 to 640 miles as you can. Like, you know, I was good for 26.2. I know that because I can run that. I could have run that, you know, on a regular day. It was not a normal day. It was freaking hot that day. And I have the sunburn, like tank top freaking sunburn.
Oh,
I just showed Conti to
I got the half.
Yeah, we got the farmer tan going.
Shoulder hurts.
And it just, you know, I kind of knew like that it was coming at some point. Like at some point, this was gonna, like, there's gonna be really hard today. It was gonna be a hard day. But trained my ass off. So what do you do, right? You just keep it moving. Like, you just stick to the plan. And I tell my kids all the time, I tell my track athletes, and I reminded them again yesterday when I got to talk to them. I said, you don't give in to the race. You let the race take it from you, but you don't give it to the race, right? You don't give it to conditions. If it's rainy or windy or hot or cold or whatever it is, like, sometimes you have to make some adjustments, but don't just, like, go automatically there. Like, get, you know, kind of, you know, or like even faster people, right? Like, don't just give in to that. Like go and race, you know, anything could happen. So, you know, I said, you know, you might be good for it still. So go out, continue to run as many 6:35s to 6:40s as you could. And I was rolling. I mean, I had it going on. I ran 6:30s, 6:40s, you know, a couple 6:45s into the hills. I felt pretty good. I started to tire a little bit, but nothing like not normal marathon stuff.
What mile was that?
I mean, it was after the turn in, you know, on by the firehouse at mile 17 or so.
Okay.
You know, so I was down. I was over the first hill. Like, I was kind of feeling good. But let me tell you, early in this race, like early, people were starting to come back towards us. I see a lot of people walking.
Now, I talked to a lot of red bibs who were like, yeah, not today.
Yeah. I'm in wave one, corral seven. So I'm in the red bibs, and they're the early ones that go. And like, so like at corral one, two, three, four, five, six, they're all ahead of me, like at the start. And those are good runners. Those are, you know, people that qualified. I qualified with the 255 from mm-hmm. or 257 from last year. So like, you know, we're all sub 3 hour marathoners, and they're like, you know, so some of them are 230 marathoners, which
yeah.
is a world away, right? Like 240 marathoners, which is a world away. Like, and they're walking, right? Like triple digits, not, you know, not four digit numbers are walking like early 8-10 miles
really?
Into it. Oh yeah. No, it was nasty. So I'm like, all right, you know, like whatever, just keep hitting your mile. It's one. I always say marathon is 26 1 mile races. Hit your mark, hit your bullseye 26 times. You got yourself a PR.
Right. It's consistency.
It's just not. Yeah. You don't want to be yo-yoing. You don't want to mm-hmm. be up and down. The course is going to give you some, it's going to take you some, but if you hit your averages and you like, you know, especially early in Boston where it's kind of downhill mm-hmm. and you could potentially be faster, but that could backfire on you. Like just hit your marks. So I was hitting my marks. Everything was going well. I was hydrating though, like almost at every stop, sip of Gatorade, sip of water, just to kind of keep it going. Cause it was hot. If there was any area of shade on the course, people were shifting to that side of the road to stay in shade. Like it was like the marathoners, like the people that were out there to really fucking do it were like, they knew that they had to take like some extra care just to kind of manage the conditions. So I'm out there, I'm doing it. Everything's good. I get up the first two hills. Mm-hmm. So after, you know, 16, 17, you get up the second hill is by the firehouse when you make the right-hand turn, Newton, onto Comm Ave. And, you know, you head up that hill, felt good, hitting some things. I actually ran past my friend Chris Whitehead, who I run with all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And he was just like, and he looked at me, he goes, like, we were barely talking. I wasn't talking at all. I was hurting, but, like, still hitting the pace. So it was mm-hmm. like, whatever. Like, just keep freaking going with this. And Chris said something like, you know, it's tough conditions. He says, I'm just running by effort. Meaning, like, a 6:40 mile and a 6:40 effort. He knows what 6:40 should feel like. And that 6:40 might. That effort might be a 7, right? Like it might,
or it could be an 8:30.
Like
I've
whatever
run
it
effort
is.
Before, where right. I'm like, I'm running as hard as I can, and it's 9 minute miles.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah. So like the effort was, he was basing on effort, which is good. So he wasn't really looking at his watch; he was just going by feel and how he should feel, which is, you know, is a good move. So I actually passed him. I actually felt good. I was going up on the third hill. I like I'm going up
18
the hill.
Point, you mean 18 point?
No, it's like, yeah, it's like 19. I think it's right
yes.
after 19.
It's before Heartbreak Hill.
Yeah, so it's 19 to 20, like in mm-hmm. there. So I'm going up that hill and still, you know, moving. And I just start to feel a little nauseous. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, oh, I'm feeling nauseous. Like, oh, boy. All right. Like, I feel like I'm going to throw up right here. And I went over towards the kind of gate, and I'm in Newton, you know, we're in the Newton Hills. Like I made it to the top of the hill, And I got over to the side of the road, and
Were there people all over?
All over. And I threw up twice, heavily, like liquid. And it was Gatorade, water, and goo, right? Oh. Like I take my chocolate goos. I take chocolate outrage goo. Oh. Like that's my shit. Like it tastes, it's good. It's like, for me, it's perfect.
I had zero
I don't like the sweet, like, berries or anything like that. Like to me, that stuff is just too like sweet, and the goo kind of is almost like a pudding. Like it just tastes pretty good, goes down easily. I've never had an issue with it. I've never thrown up in races before. Like I've never ever like had a gag reflex of any sort. Like and I'm running up this hill, and I'm like, holy shit! And I felt kind of fine otherwise. So I'm going up, but it was hot, right? So I'm like, this is probably like the heat getting to me. Like whatever. People are cramping, falling, like, all over the place. All over the place. There was carnage, like, never seen before in Boston. It's my fifth Boston Marathon. I've never seen anything like it. And I go, and I freaking, like, hurl liquid all over the freaking Comm Ave. And then a guy standing, like, on the gate next to me. I went to the side of the road, and I stopped. And, like, I was, like, hands on knees hurling. And the guy was, like, whoa, like, oh, like, could you, like, move it on a little bit? Like, he wasn't happy that I was throwing up in his area. Like, it was just a spectator. And then, so I took another
sorry.
That's exactly what I said to him. Like, I had nothing. I had nothing other than, like, sorry I threw up in the wrong place. Like, I threw up in a bad place for you. Right?
I'm sorry, I'm killing myself out here. So, and you're saying that you're going to be here right? at 10 in the morning.
I'm 19 miles into this fucking thing, and it's 70 degrees, and I'm like dying over here. And so I twice, and then I was like, all right. So I started running again, and I felt a lot better. I was like,
of course.
Holy shit, greatest thing that ever happened to me. I just threw up on the side of the road, and like I'm feeling good. But then I'm like, all right, can I drink anything? Like, can I have more water? Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Is Gatorade or water going to work for me from here on out? Or am I just going to throw up anything that I put in my stomach at this point on? Like I was just kind of like little, like, you know, nervous about that. So anyway, that mile went through at 7:50. So I'm like, shit, all right, lost some time there. So instead of 6:40s, I'm hitting 7:50s. I'm in the hills though. So
you should have thrown up faster.
Not too bad. Anyway, so I get going on. I'm like, I'm going to take another goo because I got heartbreak coming. So, like, I want to kind of see if I can maybe get something in there. I did it. Everything was fine. Went up heartbreak, like, you know, a little slower than normal. Like, I definitely had slowed down at that point. I was kind of hitting sevens and, like, not the 640s anymore, but, like, not terrible, right? I had a bunch in the bank from early miles, still on sub-3-hour pace, like, still, like, all right, dude, like this is going to be fucking tough, but if we can do this, this will be epic. You know, not knowing that nobody was having a great race for themselves on this day, right? Like, really, really hard. So I get up, I get over heartbreak, you know, like, sweet, you know, 21 miles. I got 5 to go. Like, in my head, I'm always like, this is my favorite part of the course.
Right.
Boston College, Chestnut Hill is beautiful. Crowds are big. I didn't overdo it there. I got back under 7 minutes. I'm cruising. Like, you know, I had a couple miles that were really good. And I got to 23 miles because I remember it was like, and I was like, I have another freaking 5K. I have another 5K of this. Like, this is not good. This is not good. This is going to be awful. And I'm thinking about starting, like, I got to walk a little here. I don't think I can do this. Like, and like, it just kind of went like, fell off a cliff, which is happens, right?
Yeah.
Kind of hit the wall. And, you know, obviously I'm out of fluids now because I threw it up like a little while ago. So, you know, I think that might have had something to do with it. But I, you know, I just was like, all right, legs were starting to get a little heavy and I was grinding. But I see people walking. And in my head, normally my mantra is I am perfection, I am healthy, I am strong. I am perfection, I am healthy, I am strong. I look ahead, I find a shirt to run after. That's my strategy in a marathon. Late miles in a marathon, I look ahead. Okay, there's a red shirt. I'm going to run to that guy. I'm going to be faster going towards him. And he's, you know, and I, that's like just whatever. Any shirt, I pick it, I run towards it. I repeat the mantra in my head and I get through. And I usually have some pretty good running miles in the last few. Like I can kind of hammer again. Especially like if I know like I got a little bit left and this just wasn't working. So I see people walking and in my head, my mantra became running is faster than walking.
Mm-hmm.
Running That's is true. Faster than walking. Like running is faster than walking. Like just running is faster than walking. I said it 1,000 times mm-hmm. to myself. Like just whatever you do, just like
don't walk.
Freaking walk. Because once you do, it's over. And like 24, like I made it. At 23, I stopped and walked a little bit. And then I was like, all right, you can't do this. You're still like close. You're still close. Yeah. Like you could still crack 3. Like you're still close. Not knowing again that like
everyone's no,
like
dying.
Everybody is like really hurting. So I, you know, unless you were like from Florida or like from Arizona or something where you train
my
for this
shit. My kids were cold.
Like we train for this shit. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going. So then I stopped and walked. And then by like, you know, 40K, I'm like, dude, I got another mile of this stuff left. I'm walking. I walked in the last mile of the marathon, which is like, God damn
I'm
it.
Heard of, yeah.
But like.
You had to.
That's just what was happening. And I ended up running a 303.
Amazing.
I ran 303. I've only run 3 marathons that aren't under 3 hours, and that was one of them. The other one was the 312 that I ran in
when you carried the person.
When I carried the person mm-hmm. over the finish line in 2019.
And which then, also and then, still beats Meb.
And then the other one was my first marathon ever where I thought I knew what the hell I was doing and I really didn't. And the last mm-hmm. 10K took me over an hour. And yeah, it was brutal. I'm surprised I ever ran another one ever again.
Right.
So, a little bittersweet, but like, you know, just kind of seeing what else. And like Meb is right there. Like I beat Meb, which is kind of cool. I don't know what he was doing that day. I'm sure on a good day or well-trained, he can still handle his business better than me. But, you know, I knew where my family was going to be, mm-hmm. right? Hereford, they're right on Hereford, left on Boylston. There's the last, turns in the last mile of the Boston Marathon. And you never realize how much of an uphill Hereford is. It's an uphill. It's like a definitely pitch to it. And mm-hmm. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yep. Like, what the heck is this? So ran into them, whole family. My wife, my kids, my sister, her daughter.
My son was with your family
Alex was with my family. My brother, my nephew, my niece, or my nephews and my niece and my, everybody. We were a big pack.
A crew.
My niece's friends, they all had big signs with my face on it.
Great. Fantastic.
It was like awesome. My sister told me the night before, she's like, we really stepped up the sign game for this one. I wore my Manasquan singlet, which was amazing, right? Cause I coached Manasquan High School, Manasquan, New Jersey. And I went in the bins and I grabbed the jersey, like our actual uniform, and I wore it during the race. And I sent a picture to the kids the night before, you know, mm-hmm. I sent like, we have a little, you know, on the Remind app and And I sent that to them, and it was like kind of cool, you know. Like they were surprised that happened. But along the way, everyone's yelling, "Yo, Manasquan, Manasquan, yo, New Jersey, yo, Jersey, like Jersey Shore, go Squan!" I heard. And then at one point, this is classic. I get, "Yo, Manasquan," and then there was a pause as I'm running away. Count the basket. Which is there was a big basketball controversy here in the state of New Jersey where Manasquan got robbed of their trip to the state championship. The basket was good. They called it good. And then they called it off. It was huge on SportsCenter. It was it was on ESPN. It was on all sorts of stuff. It was on Barstool, mm-hmm. which I think. So I got to count the basket Manasquan at the Boston Marathon course, which was freaking amazing. I emailed Coach yesterday, the basketball coach who just handled that whole ordeal so well. And he was just like, yeah, way to represent, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's my alma mater. It's pretty cool, you know, go out and support the kids and let them know that I'm out there doing wild shit for myself still. So I'm a little upset that, you know, conditions as they were just didn't let people run their best, you know, but you can't control it. You control what you can control. And I pressed on. I did what I could. I'm not upset. I'm upset how close I came and like walking late, but that was just what was going to happen. I mean, like, I can't be wuss out, you know, like it took it from me. I made the race take it from me, and that's what happened. And so 303, you know, a little bittersweet, not under three. But here's the deal. I told you all along, the goal is to have a sub 3 hour marathon when I'm 50. Mm-hmm. I'm 49. Next year's marathon. Next year at Boston will be pretty much my first crack at a sub 3 when I'm 50. And I was in shape. I'm in shape right now. I was in shape to run it this year. So next year we'll just, you know, double down and get, you know, get going again. And if I can do that, man, I'd be really happy with myself. That's a big goal of mine. So
Yay.
So, you know, just super cool, you know, and you get the medal and then you find out that no one else really did what they wanted to. No one ran what they were trained for. Like, I have a couple kids in my club that sure I see that I run for that are like young, like collegiate Division I, you know, just recently graduated, like running their first marathon, like ran like 3 flat. I'm like, oh, okay. 49-year-old dude's all right. You know, like Bronwyn, Winnie, my friend, amazing. She's 48-year-old woman, you know, mother and a middle school principal. She ran 3:14.
Mm-hmm.
She is a tough little Irish gal that is like, I was so happy for her. Like, she trained her butt off. She had such a good training block. And, you know, we really were able to get a lot of training done together. And she ran 3:14. I know she can run 3:05. She was, she's a beast. She's like the most like deceptively great superstar runner. Like, she's phenomenal. So, that was really cool. And, you know, we were just, I was pretty delirious afterwards.
Dude, like, this is why we do this. The marathon is not like a controlled environment.
Yeah.
Ever. There are so many
variables.
Yeah. Right. The weather and the course and the, how about yourself? One day I was talking to people about this, that one day you can get out there and you feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
And you could do anything. You could run forever. And the next day you're like, yeah, I don't even think that I can run five miles.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest thing. Your body is amazing. And just putting all of those pieces together is, it's like a science experiment, you know?
I would say there's like two parts to it, right? There's the stuff that you control, right? The training, the nutrition, the sleep, the rest, and, you know, all that stuff. Like, everything that you can do with it. And then there's the race side of it, the race course, the weather, you know, the conditions, the starting time, like any of those things that could happen. Like, you ran it one year when it was 40 degrees and pouring rain and with a headwind, it was like sleeting, right? Like, you know, and that's a tough day to be doing anything. I thought, Christine's so macho, I thought that the other day was freaking miserable. And it was, you know, it's just like one of those days where you kind of had to check it maybe a little bit, but
I didn't push like you did, though. That was the difference.
Yeah.
Like, I had a very, very comfortable
I'm really
race.
Looking for it. Like I said,
it was amazing.
A couple years away from going there and enjoying a Boston Marathon. But, you know, at the same rate, there's a lot of glory when you have a good one. So, you know, I'd almost like, what are you giving up one for the other? But,
you do.
Yeah.
But it's also, what is it, what's more important to you at the time is what it is.
Yeah,
Whereas, I don't know. I'm done with the, you know, would I like to run a sub 3? Yeah. But is that fit into my lifestyle right now? No.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to give up my career I've worked for that, I guess, is kind of what I'd rather have. Like, I'm into this, like, I'd rather have really cool experiences.
Yeah.
And go out and be like, hey, listen,
I got
be a good human.
Yeah.
Like, and here's what good humans do.
Yeah.
They help out, they give back, they, you know, they podcast so that people can, you know, hear about what you should be doing as you're sitting there watching your Netflix, eating your, you know, ice cream tub. Whereas, like, come on out and be social and do something awesome for you and have these cool, you know, experiences with new people. And yeah, it's really uncomfortable. And yeah, sometimes you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And then you
get the, why am I doing this? What the hell am I thinking? Like, as I'm like on the bus going there to the starting line, I'm like, what the, like, what?
Well,
like,
you know, the hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I think that I really do believe that people who don't push themselves and really step out there outside of their comfort zone. Like, I understand people like, oh, I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to, you know, I don't know, try this new restaurant, or I'm going to...
Right.
Like, there's things that... I think there's levels to it. And when you really step out of your comfort zone, that is when you have these like epiphanies of who am I?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Yeah. What does this mean? What is the purpose of whatever? And when you put yourself in these situations, or, you know, those of you that run marathons or have pushed your body. I don't care if you're a marathoner. You could be anything.
Sure.
You've trained, you've pushed your body to a point where you're like, this hurts.
Yeah.
And it's a lot mental. It's like you, there's part of it where you're like, can I actually push through this? Or is my body kind of shutting down? And your body, like your body the other day told you, right?
Yeah.
Like you could have,
no, my brain
you
was like,
started walking like 15 miles earlier.
My brain was like wanted to go on, mm-hmm. but the body was like, yeah. I think the more I said, you know, running is faster than walking, I think all I heard my body was hearing walking, 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 walking sounds great right now. No, and look, like, and the other thing is that, you know, you and I have put ourselves in a position here, and you know, for better or worse, where, you know, when all this info hits Facebook and like my sister posts her pictures, she says it's her favorite weekend of the year and all this stuff. And like, you know, everybody like kind of knows that we're running and shit, we broadcast, you know, we broadcast it. That like, you know, their Boston Marathon Day is like bigger than a birthday on Facebook, right? Like, or like social media, for me at least, you know, people are always.
I saw a lot this year posted and.
But, like, I'm just saying, for me personally, right? And it's like, congratulations. Like, you know, people say I inspire them. Whatever. Okay. Like, it's great.
No one knows about our birthdays, but they know about our race.
it's kind of like that, right? And like, that's part of it, too, right? Like, if somebody, you know, I went to my kid's baseball game yesterday and last night, and you know, I'm limping around. And it was really funny. At one point, there was a foul ball that went over, and I was like, you know, kind of normally I would have just, like, kind of gone over to the side and got the ball, gave it back to the – I was like, I'm not going to get that. I was like, I'm staying right here on the fence. But like, you know, some of the parents and people that I know around town were like, holy shit, like you're walking? Like what? Like, you know, and I carry my medal around my pocket because I was coming from practice. So I had my medal and I was like, oh, you mean this? Like I had, you know, I actually had my medal in my pocket, which was kind of random. But, you know, just like cool stuff. And, you know, one of the guys is like, you know, I just ran my first half and I was like, that's freaking awesome, dude. I was like, let's run. Like, let's run. Oh, I can't run like you can. I said, dude, no, yes, you can. We're all running together. Like, you know, I'm not going to listen. If you're out there and I invite you to a run, I'm not going to invite you to a run and then just like hammer. Like, you know, and run away from you.
Because I thought that's what was going to happen the first time I went running with you and, like, the old timies, and that doesn't happen.
No.
Some of them do take off, though.
Good.
And that's cool.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's not, it's like,
next year's
no man left behind.
Next year's Boston Marathon is Easter Monday. So plan on,
Easter Bunny's coming.
Yeah, spending Easter in Boston next year. You know, we'll see. My wife's like, really? I'm like, yeah, really.
We've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
Easter Bunny will come.
Yeah. I don't know. My kids are.
It's fine.
Yeah, they're not
it's
really.
Fine.
Yeah.
All good.
But, yeah, so we're looking forward to that one. You know, I got the BQ for next year. I am going to run the Philadelphia Marathon on November 24th because that's my sister's birthday. And she invited me to run a marathon. And I said, hell yeah. Yeah. So let's get her through that one. And,
I'm going for my six.
Yeah, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
That's the next thing. That's like
the Abbott World Championship six. Yeah.
I'd like to.
So get if you run all six of the world majors, then you get a special award. Now you've done New York, you've done Boston, you've done Chicago, and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just I gotta pick up Tokyo and
London,
Berlin.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Those little things.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm not in a fired rush. But
talk to your people at Adidas. Talk to your people at.
We'll see what happens.
Hey, I tell you what. You want me to guide? I'll go
see
guide.
What happens.
I'll go guide one in between. You know, if you want me to just go.
Thomas and I may have some plans for the future. Just throwing that out there.
Look, you know how we are.
Good times.
I took a guide to life from our former guest Jesse Itzler, and his famous saying was, like, I just want to stay in good enough shape that where anybody says to me, hey, Jesse,
you want
to
run
hey,
a marathon?
Brian, we're running a marathon in the morning. You want to come with us? And I'll just go.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Just not today. I am sore navigating the steps.
You could do it today. The two
we're
of us
two
could,
days. We're
we
two
can
days
hobble
post,
out.
We're 2 days post-marathon for those of you listening to this
it's
one.
It's all good. 2 days post-marathon. I'm like six workouts already in. Like, yeah. Come on now. That's
no,
I'm just,
you're crazy.
I'm a consistent.
Tell the audience what you do the day after the marathon.
Oh, I had like four trainings that I had to cycle.
The Idea
weights.
World Fitness Some Trainer
training.
Of the Year has got to
so
get her
you,
shit back to
get
work.
Get your shit done.
Yeah, you got
to. There's no like, I can't let this, you know, totally sidetrack me.
I can't. I'm such a mess. Like, sometimes I was so nauseous I couldn't eat after the marathon. We drove home, right? I had made my wife drive the car. I couldn't drive.
Alzheimer's disease.
I couldn't drive. I get home. I go to sleep. And, you know, I'm going to be able to get, I'm definitely going to be able to get 20% off on a manicure pretty soon because I'm going to be missing two.
You didn't have a 7 a.m. hit.
Yeah. So hit I didn't have a 7 a.m. But I could, but like my body's so like tortured that I couldn't sleep. I was up at 6 a.m. no matter what. And I'm up.
You're only
like
a little bit, like a year and a half older than I am. Is that what happens? Do I get like a,
dude,
like in another year, am I going to hit the wall?
No, I would never be able to do, yeah. Just holding on, Conti. I don't know.
There's going to be a wall.
You know what? Well, yeah.
Oh, man. It's fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. So. All good.
Yeah.
All good.
So yeah.
That is that. That's the 2024 128th edition of the Boston Marathon.
So good.
So freaking good.
So good.
So good.
It just gets better and better. Yeah. That's all.
All right. Sign us out of here.
All Kenzie. Right. With that said, everyone, go be a good human. Go give back. Go
Please.
Advocate. Go and add what Catherine Switzer told everyone is that if you ask someone to go for a walk or go for a run, it may just change their life.
Hear, hear.
It was honestly a mic drop moment. So I invite all of you to go for a walk. Go for a jog. You don't have to be great, but you never know where it's going to take you in this world.
Yeah.
So there it is.
All right.
With that said, it's Christine Conti.
And I'm Brian Prendergast.
And we are Two Fit Crazies.
And the microphone.
We are where it's at.
Peace.